Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. Father, as we look to the future of your kingdom coming to this earth, we ask that you would prepare our people, that you would prepare us, Father, as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. We know, Father, that we have a short time before Yahshua returns. We ask, Father, that we would uphold your law and to do the things that are right in your sight. Help us, Father, to overcome this world and Satan the devil as we seek to do that which is right. We love you and we thank you for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. Continue to provide for us, Father, as we seek to do your will. Again, Father, we ask that you bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. That, Father, the greatest of those petitions is not knowing you, Father. And just like we got the letter today from wherever Pastor Jackson is from and his congregation, there are people out there that are seeking you, Father, that want to know more of you. And we ask that you would provide for them, that you would give us the resources and the ability to not only go visit them and reach them and teach them from your word and the website and every other facet that you've given us. So, Father, it's through your strength and your power that we come before you. We ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us, that you would cause us to walk away from sin, shame, so that we would truly be at one with you as we prepare for the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Father, truly, we ask all these favors and blessings in your holy name, and we thank you again for Yahshua's great sacrifice. In his name we pray, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Are we too comfortable with sin, brethren? Is sin still a part of our daily life? We must rid our lives of sin and its destructive ways. To do this, we must practice the law. And with this practice, the grace of Yahweh will cover us if we sin and err. But it must be an error, brethren, and not willful. For our first scripture, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start at verse 26. That's Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire, which shall devour the adversary. A man that has violated Moses' law dies without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. Of how much more severe punishment, think you, shall he be judged worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of Yahweh, and has counted the blood of the covenant with which he has sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite to the spirit of grace. For we know him that said, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay. And again, Yahweh shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. A fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. Isaiah 59. We're going to look at verses 1 to 4. Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquity, your sin, have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness. No one calls for righteousness, and no one pleads in truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. We see here, brethren, that sin separates us from Yahweh. But if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll see there that love covers. That's 1 Peter 4, verse 7. We'll read down to verse 9. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of a sound mind and be sober to prayer. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves. For love covers a multitude of sins. Using hospitality one to another without murmuring. So we're supposed to understand that love covers. It joins. Where sin separates, love brings us together. If we're not murmuring one against another. Yahweh has given us his truth. We know his word is truth. And he's given us that truth for a purpose. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of Elohim. And we are. For this cause the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the children of Elohim, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if we shall be manifested, we shall be like him. For we shall see him even as he is. And everyone that has this hope set on him purifies himself, even as he is pure. We are living a life that is holy, a life that is separate from the world. The world lives in sin, but we, if we have joined ourselves with Yahshua the Messiah, which each of us should have at this point, and those that have not need to, we need to take the steps, that baptism, so that we receive that down payment of the Holy Spirit, which we need to overcome this world. Okay? Verse 4, it says, everyone that commits sin also transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is what separates. It breaks Yahweh's law. And you know that he was manifested to take away sins. And this is Yahshua the Messiah. And in him is no sin. Whoever remains in him does not sin. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. Little children, let no man lead you astray. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that does sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. So there's a separation there between Yahshua and between Satan and the devil. Those that are righteous are of Yahweh. They're Yahshua's followers. But those that are sinners are of the devil, Satan. Verse 8b, it says, to this end was the Son of Yahweh manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And that's what Yahshua did. He overcame death. He overcame sin because he didn't sin. Whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not practice sin. Are we too comfortable with sin, brother? And that's what's happening today. We've got too many people out here that say they know Yahweh, that say they follow Yahweh, who are still practicing sin. And you know what I'm talking about. You know what sin is. It's the transgression of the law, whether it's stealing, whether it's fornication, whether it's violating the Sabbath, any of the Sabbaths, not even keeping the sabbatical year. These are sins. Because to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So if you've been raised in a righteous way, and you know the difference between right and wrong, and you decide that you're going to follow the people of the world because you become intertwined with them, then you're sinning because they don't recognize the keeping of the commandment. And it's nothing for them to violate, whether it's the clean food laws or whatever else they violate, because they're not concerned with it. It's not something that they are concerned with. So whoever is begotten of Yahweh in verse 9 does not practice sin, because his seed remains in him, that he may not practice sin, because he is begotten of Yahweh. In this, the children of Yahweh are manifest, and the children of the devil. There's a separation there. Whoever does not righteousness is not of Yahweh, neither he that does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. His brother's righteous. So we see that there's a separation, and that's what sin does. There's a separation. In verse 13, it says, marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life, just as Yahshua did. Yahshua overcame death because we love the brethren. So that love has to be there. He that loves not lives in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life living in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So, brethren, we know there's a separation. Sin separates. If you have a problem with any of your brethren, if you have a problem with any of your neighbors, see, that's why we're not supposed to have enemies, even though it tells us we're supposed to love our enemies, okay? That's how you overcome. We're preparing ourselves for the Passover memorial. We cannot take the Passover memorial if we have issues and problems with other people, because then we're willfully violating the covenant. See, we have to be straight. We have to get ourselves on the right track. But whoever has the world's good and beholds his brother in need and shuts up his compassion from him, how does the love of Yahweh live in him? It can't. My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and truth. By this shall we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Because if our heart condemns us, Elohim is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness toward Elohim, and whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and love one another, even as he gave us commandments. And he that keeps his commandment lives in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he lives in us, by the Spirit which he gave us. And I told you before, you know, you can't have Yahweh's Holy Spirit if you're living in sin, if you're violating. The Holy Spirit cannot exist in a vessel, a sinful vessel. If you practice sin, you do not know Yahweh. That's the other thing. You can say that you do, but you don't. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. He that covers the transgression seeks love, but he that harps on a matter separates chief friends. in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. That's Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hate stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Ezekiel chapter 18. And we're going to start in verse 4. It says, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. But if a man is just and does that which is lawful and right, and has not eaten upon the mountain, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither has defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has come near to a woman in her impurity, and has not wronged any, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has taken nothing by robbery, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment. He that has not given forth upon interest, neither has taken any increase, that has withdrawn its hands from iniquity, and has executed true justice between man and man, has walked in my statutes and has kept my ordinances to deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, says the sovereign Yahweh. If he procreates a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that does any one of these things, and that does not any of those duties, but even has eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, has wronged the poor and needy, has taken by robbery, and has not restored the pledge, and has lifted up his eyes to the idols, has committed abomination, has given forth upon interest, and taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he procreates a son that sees all of his father's sins, which he has done, and fears and does not such like. So now this is the grandson that has not eaten upon the mountain, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, has not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has wronged any, has not taken anything to pledge, neither has taken by robbery, but has given his bread to the hungry and has covered the naked with a garment." So he's looking out for those that are out there, the homeless and the hungry, that has withdrawn his hands from off the poor, that has not received interest nor increase, has executed my ordinances, keeping the commandments of Yahweh, has walked in my statutes. He shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother, and did that which is not good among his people, behold, he shall die in his sin, in his iniquity. Yet you say, why does not the son bear the iniquity of the father, when the son has done that which is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes, and has done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked turns from all the sins that he has committed, and keeps all my statutes, and does that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. So if the wicked repent, Yahweh saying, he shall live. Yahweh has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. None of his transgressions in verse 22 that he has committed shall be remembered against him. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the sovereign Yahweh? And not rather that he should return from his way and live? But when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? None of his righteous deeds that he has done shall be remembered. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, and then shall he die. So if you're a righteous man and you turn, okay, you commit sin in your 11th hour, not knowing that you're about to die. It says here, none of your righteous deeds are going to be remembered. Yet if you were a wicked man and you change and you turn in the 11th hour and you become righteous, you're going to be forgiven. Your wickedness is forgotten. See? Yahweh is a merciful El. Yahweh is trying to get us to not be comfortable with sin, to abhor it so that it's not a part of our lives or our children's lives, because they practice, you know, normally what they see. And I'm not saying that, you know, they are learning everything they do from their parents. But if we look back to our days of our youth, we did a lot of the same things that our kids are doing today, you know. And, you know, when you tell them, hey, it's not right. Oh, well, you did stuff and so. Well, hey, doesn't matter what I did. You know, that's the thing. You know, we've repented. We've changed. We're not living that way anymore. Okay? And this is what we have to understand, that Yahweh forgets all of that in the past. We have been forgiven. And for you to be forgiven, someone sins against you, you've got to be willing to forgive. So that's why Matthew 18 becomes very important at this time of year. See, we can't harbor ill feelings against one another. We can't have problems with our brethren or even our enemies. We have a problem, we got to solve it. Ezekiel chapter 21, we'll start in Ezekiel chapter 20, starting verse 4. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Cause them to know the abomination of their fathers. And say to them, in this manner, says the sovereign Yahweh, in the day when I chose Israel and swore to the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, when I swore to them, saying, I am Yahweh, your Elohim, your mighty one, in that day, another time stamp, I swore to them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt, into a land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. And I said to them, cast away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with idols of Egypt. I am Yahweh Elohim. But they rebelled against me. They would not listen to me. They did not, every man, cast away the abomination of their eyes. Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my wrath upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the middle of the land of Egypt. But I worked for my name's sake, that I should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among which they were, in whose sight I made myself known to them, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. So I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my ordinances, which if a man does, he shall live in them. So we know that if we keep Yahweh's commandments, we can live in them. That means we'll have salvation. Moreover, verse 12, also I gave them my Sabbaths, plural, not just the weekly Sabbath, But he gave us the high Sabbaths as well, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sanctifies them, that sets us apart for a holy purpose. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they rejected my ordinances, which if a man keeps, he shall live in them, and my Sabbath they greatly profane. Then I said, I would pour out my wrath upon them in the wilderness to consume them, but I work for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, in whose sight I brought them out. And he did. All those over the age of accountability that came out of Egypt died in their own sin in the wilderness. Verse 15. Moreover, also I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they rejected my ordinances and walked not in my statutes and profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. So, brethren, we know what we have to do. We have to give up the idols of our youth and the sin of our past and cling to Yahweh. He gave us Yahshua the Messiah to separate us from sin. And Yahshua did make a distinction. So we have a choice between following Satan or following Yahshua. Nevertheless, in verse 17, my eye spared them, and I destroyed them not, neither did I make a full end of them in the wilderness. He didn't destroy all of Israel, just those that came out and saw his great saw what he did in destroying all of the mighty ones of Egypt, the idols of Egypt. Verse 18, and I said to their children in the wilderness, walk not in the statutes of your father, neither observe their ordinances, nor defile yourself with their idols. I am Yahweh Elohim, walk in my statutes, and keep my ordinances to do them, and hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh Elohim. But the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my ordinances to do them, which if a man does, he shall live in them. They profaned my Sabbath. Then I said, I will pour out my wrath upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and worked for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, and in whose sight I brought them forth. Yahweh is making a distinction between his people and the people of this world. Think about it. This past new moon, we got into Zephaniah and the judgment that Yahweh was going to bring upon the people of the earth. I'm going to read that real quick so that we're going to go over the three groups of people in Zephaniah chapter 1. He says in verse 4, and I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. And the name of the Kemarim with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetop, and them that worship, that swear to Yahweh, and swear by Malcolm or Moloch, and them, that's the first group, and the second group, and them that are turned back from following Yahweh, the second group, and the third group, and those that have not sought Yahweh. Those are the three groups of people that Yahweh is going to destroy. You saw some devastation this past week. And as I read about what's going to happen on the 19th, which is next Sabbath, which about full moon and how the devastation, earthquakes more, with the gravitational pull of the moon being so close to the earth. And we're going to see what happens. But like I said, this is Yahweh is the one that's punishing the earth and the people of the earth. He's the one that has control. Back to Ezekiel chapter 20 and I stop in verse 21. Well, we're going to read verse 21 again. It says, "But the children rebelled against me, and they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my ordinances to do them, which if a man does, he shall live in them. They profaned my Sabbath. Then I said I would pour out my wrath upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and worked for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations in whose sight I brought them forth. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the nations, disperse them throughout the country, because they had not executed my ordinances, but they had rejected my statutes and had profaned my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idol. Moreover, also I gave them statutes that were not good, and ordinances in which they should not live, and I polluted them in their own gifts, in that it caused them to pass through the fire, all that opens the womb, that I might make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am Yahweh." And that's what happens, brethren. You know, when people are tried, when people go through these tribulations, it's because of their own sin. For them to realize that truly they need to repent and go back to Yahweh. But a lot of them won't get that opportunity. Ezekiel chapter 21, "Yahweh's vengeance shall not be quenched." Ezekiel 21, and we'll start in verse 24. It says, "Therefore, thus says the sovereign Yahweh, because you have made your iniquity, your sin to be remembered, and that your transgressions are uncovered, so that in all your doing, your sins appear, because that you have come to remembrance, you shall be taken with the hand. And you, O deadly, wounded, wicked one, the prince of Israel, whose day has come in the time of the iniquity of the end. Thus says the sovereign Yahweh, remove the mitre and take off the crown. This shall be no more the same. Exalt that which is low and humble that which is high. I will overturn it. This also shall be no more until he comes, whose right it is, and I will give it to him." And whose right it is Joshua the Messiah. And he's going to receive the kingdom. "And you, son of man, prophesy and say, in this manner says the sovereign Yahweh concerning the children of Ammon and concerning their reproach, and say, a sword is drawn for the slaughter, it is furbished, to cause it to devour, that it may be as lightning. While they see for you false vision, while they divine lies to you, to lay you upon the neck of the wicked that are deadly wounded, whose day has come in the time of the iniquity of the end, cause it to return to its sheath, in the place where you were created, in the land of your birth, will I judge you. And I will pour out my indignation upon you. I will blow upon you with the fire of my wrath, and I will deliver you into the hand of brutish men, skillful to destroy. And you shall be fueled for the fire. Your blood shall be in the middle of the land. You shall be no more remembered, for I, Yahweh, have spoken it." Yahweh's vengeance shall not be quenched, brethren. And that's the sin of Israel's leader. Ezekiel chapter 22, starting verse 6. "Behold, the princes of Israel, every one according to his power, have been in you to shed blood. And you have they set light by father and mother. In the middle of you have they dealt by oppression with the sojourner, and you have they wronged the fatherless and the widow." Third time. They didn't do it. They withheld it. "You have despised my holy things and have profaned my Sabbath, the commandments of Yahweh." They did not do it. They didn't die. They just decided, well, you know, they're going to keep it for themselves. Flanders men have been in you to shed blood, and in you they have eaten upon the mountain. And that means pagan worship, idol worship. In the middle of you they have committed lewdness, and you have they uncovered their father's nakedness. In you have they humbled her that was unclean by her impurity. And one has committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. Another has lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. And another, and you have humbled his sister, his father's daughter. And you have they taken bribes to shed blood. You have taken interest and increase. You have greedily gained of your neighbors by oppression and have forgotten me, says the sovereign Yahweh. Drop down to verse 23. And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the middle of it, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They take treasure and precious things. They have made her widows many in the middle of it. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. Neither have they caused men to discern between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Yahweh says, you are a land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. And you know why? There shall be no rain. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. This message is about us being comfortable with sin, brethren. We cannot become comfortable with sin. We have to cry out against it. And there was, in verse 11, we'll start in verse 1. That's Revelation 11:1. And there was given to me a reed like a rod. And one said, rise and measure the temple of Elohim and the altar and them that worship in it and the court which is outside the temple leave out. And measure it not, for it has been given to the nations, the Gentiles. And the holy city shall be tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before Elohim of the earth. And if any man desires to hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man desires to hurt them, in this manner must he be killed. These have the power to shut up the heavens, that it rain not during the days of their prophecy. And they have the power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they shall desire. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss shall make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also their master was impaled. We're talking about Joshua, of course, yes. And from among the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations do men look upon their dead bodies 3.5 days. And do not allow their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. And they shall send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented them. that dwell on the earth. That word is basano. Judge them. And after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from Yahweh entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell on them that saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up here, the high calling. And they went up into heaven in the cloud. And their enemies saw them. And in that hour there was a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And there were killed in the earthquake 7,000 persons, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the Elohim of heaven. The second woe is past. Watch, the third woe comes quickly. The seventh angel sounded, and there followed great voices in heaven, and they said, the kingdom of the world is become the kingdom of our Yahweh and of his Messiah. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit before Yahweh on their thrones fell upon their faces and worshiped Yahweh, saying, we give thanks, O Yahweh El Shaddai, who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and did reign. And the nations were angry, and your wrath came, and the time of the dead to be judged, and the time to give their reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy them that destroy the earth. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 44. Behold, everyone that uses the proverb shall use this proverb against you, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. You are the daughter of your mother that loathes her husband and her children, and you are the sister of your sisters who loathe their husband and their children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite, and your eldest sister is Samaria and dwells at your left hand, she and her daughters, and your younger sister that dwells at your right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet have you not walked in their ways, nor done after their abominations. But as if that were a very little thing, you were more corrupt than they in all your ways. As I live, says the sovereign Yahweh, Sodom, your sister, has not done, she nor her daughters, as you have done. You and your daughter, behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and prosperous ease was in her and in her daughter. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither has Samaria committed half your sins. But you have multiplied your abominations more than they, and have justified your sisters by all your abominations which you have done. You also, you bear your own shame, in that you have given judgment for your sisters, though your sins that you have committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than you. Also, yes, be also confounded, and bear your shame, in that you have justified your sisters. And I will turn again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughter, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughter, and the captivity of your captives in the middle of them, that you may bear your own shame and may be ashamed because of all that you have done, in that you are a comfort to them. And your sisters, Sodom and her daughter, shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughter shall return to their former estate. Sodom is another name for Judah. Samaria is another name for Israel. For your sister Sodom was not mentioned by your mouth in the day of your pride, before your wickedness was uncovered, at that time of the reproach of the daughters of Syria and all that are around her, the daughters of the Philistines that do despise, do despite to you all around. You have borne your lewdness and your abomination, says Yahweh. For thus says the sovereign Yahweh, I will also deal with you as you have done, who have despised the oath and breaking the covenant. We know that the covenant of Almighty Yahweh has been given to his people. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish to you an everlasting covenant. Then shall you remember your ways and be ashamed when you shall receive your sisters, your older sisters and your younger, and I will give them to you for daughters, but not by your covenant. And I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am Yahweh, that you may remember and be confounded and never open your mouth anymore because of your shame when I have forgiven you all that you have done, says the sovereign Yahweh. We know that Yahweh is a forgiving and loving El. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. We'll read verses 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter into your chambers and shut your doors about you. Hide yourself for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, Yahweh comes forth out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover his slain. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which comes upon you to prove you as though a strange thing happened to you. But insomuch as you are partakers of the Messiah's suffering, rejoice, that at the revelation of his glory you may also rejoice with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of the Messiah, you are blessed, because of the glorious spirit of Yahweh rest upon you. That means that you are doing what's right, brother. That means that you've overcome sin. You're not comfortable with it. For let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or a meddler in other men's matters. But if a man suffer as a despised believer, let him not be ashamed. And we don't have anything to be ashamed of, brethren, if we're keeping the covenant. If we're doing the thing that Ezekiel 18 tells us that we need to do to be righteous men. But let him glorify Yahweh in this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of Elohim. And if it begins first at us, what shall be the end of them that do not obey the good tidings of Yahweh? They're not going to be found. And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the lawless and sinner appear? Therefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit their souls in well-doing to a faithful Creator. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Starting verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I and will manifest myself to him. Judah, not Iscariot, says to him, Teacher, what has come to pass that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Yahshua answered and said to him, If a man loves me, and he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my word, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. In John 15, starting verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he cleanses. He cleanses it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it remain in the vine, so neither can you, except you remain in me. Now, how can you remain in Yahshua if you're living in sin? How can you remain in Yahshua if you're practicing sin? You can't. You're going to be separated. You're going to be plucked off and thrown into the fire. He that remains in me bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man remain not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done to you. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. Even as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall remain in my love, brethren, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do the things which I command you. No longer do I call you servant, for the servant knows not what his master does, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name. That's why it's so important to understand Yahshua's name. You can't ask in the name of the pagan mighty one. It's not going to be given. Whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you may love one another. That's what Yahshua wants us to do. That's the important part. That Yahshua may love us because we love him. We accepted him. We chose him as our lamb. James or Jacob 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Master. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Master is at hand. Murmur not, brethren, one against another, that you be not judged. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Take, brethren, for an example of suffering and of patience, the prophets who spoke in the name of Yahweh. Behold, we call them blessed that endured. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of Yahweh, how that Yahweh is full of pity and merciful. And he truly is, brethren. Jacob chapter 4, or James 4. Verse 7. Therefore, be subject to Yahweh. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to Yahweh, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and let your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall exalt you. Speak not one against another, brother. He that speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Brethren, we cannot be comfortable with sin. We must learn to practice the keeping of Yahweh's commandments and his love. There is no fear in love. Satan is a terrorist, brother, trying to terrorize Yahweh's people. Think about it. That's what terrorists do. They try to terrorize people so that they will be immobile. They won't be able to function. They won't be able to do what they've been commanded to do. In 1 John 4:18, which is our final scripture, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We do not fear because Yahweh has shown us love, and perfect love casts out fear. We are set to receive the kingdom, brethren, because we are not comfortable with sin. We've put it away from us. We've asked and accepted Yahshua's shed blood, which has cleansed us from all sin. So it doesn't matter what sins you've committed in the past, brethren. If you accept Yahshua's shed blood, you've been cleansed from your past sin. So when Satan tries to bring it up and go before Yahweh and says, you know, remember when he did this or she did that? It's gone. It's no longer there. You're a new creature. We cannot fall back into the old ways and become comfortable with sin. We can't allow sin to have any part of our being or be a part of our member. Because if we allow sin in our life, it's going to pull us back and we'll be destroyed with those that are going to be destroyed with Satan the devil. So may Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve Almighty Yahweh and to give glory to his holy name each and every day, because we know that our time is short before Yahshua returns. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Al if he would close with a word of prayer.
Let's all bow. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We confess our sins to you. We have sinned against you. We've sinned against your word, your law. We pray that you would forgive us, that you would cleanse us. Your word says in 1 John that if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By faith, Father, we are believing that you are cleaning us. We know that if we stand upon and take faith in the sacrifice of Yeshua, that we are able to come before you as blameless, unreproachable in your sight. We put our faith in Yeshua. We pray, Father, that you would rebuke the devourer for our sakes. The accuser of the brethren is always accusing us. We pray, Father, that you would rebuke him. We thank you that the war has been won. The decision has been made. Yeshua became the victor. He won. Even though we are still in a battle, there are things that we have to overcome. We pray that you would lead us, guide us, direct us, Father Yahweh, to overcome each and every battle. Help us to be strong. Perfect love casts out fear. And we know that by keeping your commandments, that is our expression to you that we love you. We just give you the thanks for the opportunity to come before you. Each and every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we can approach your throne of grace only because of what Yeshua has done. It's not because of anything that we've done. For our righteousness is as filthy rags, blood-soaked, nasty, detestable. But we have the righteousness that comes from Yeshua, the righteousness of Yahweh. And so we give you the thanks, the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask also, Yahweh, that you would be with those that are on the prayer list. Heal, touch, and just restore. We thank you for the Sabbath. We thank you for the message we heard. We thank you for all those that have called in to hear your word proclaimed, to sing your praises. This is the best day of the week. Truly, the Sabbath is for man's good. It is for our good, Father, that you've given us this Sabbath. We give you thanks and the praise in the name of Yeshua, our Savior and our Redeemer and our soon-coming King. He's made us more than conquerors. We're the head, we're not the tail, we're above, we're not beneath. We thank you for the favor of Yahweh that surrounds us like a shield protecting us. Hallelujah and amen.